Now, who was here last week? Okay. All right. Cool. Last week, we broke open our little boxes. We got over 100 questions from junior high and senior high. And we got a lot of, and as you know, we didn't get to answer all of them. So we decided to take, to make sure that this week we could get some of the questions we didn't get. And then, and some of these questions were really good questions. Others about Justin Bieber, we just kind of disregarded. We're not talking about idol worship and idolatry this time around, so we're not just not getting there. Is it okay if we get to some more of your questions and answers before we get into the word and prayer and stuff like that? Is it okay, or should we just move on?
I want to know some asking. Answers.
Answers. You got questions, we got answers.
That's right.
Digging into the word, stuff like that. So we're going to get into some Q&A, we're getting into the word, and then we're going to have some more worship and prayer and stuff like that. Is that okay, hon?
Yeah, and we have the junior high and senior high in here together.
They're combined.
And this is what I tell the junior high. I'm going to treat you guys like young adults because that's how you guys want to be treated, right? You guys want to know the answers to these questions, right? I have to treat you like little kids, right?
No.
So some of them you might think are hilarious, but people are really dealing with these issues. So right now, I think we should get out all the giggles and all the laughter. So let's have everyone go, ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ho. Okay, cool. Now we can be mature.
Now,
we can say that's right, Pastor Richard and Michelle. I completely agree.
Oh, I already started getting
Amen.
I already started getting some texts on our Google Voice.
Wow.
I know.
Somebody save that number.
We're not really taking new questions. We wanted to kind of get some of the old questions. You could try and we'll see what happens, but we wanted to get some of the old questions. Because like I said, we had over 50 questions being texted in to us. We had another 50 or 70, something like that. I forget the count. Between the junior high, senior high, something like that. Between other questions we had written in and stuff like that. So do you have your questions, hon?
Yep.
You have the questions and stuff like that? Okay. So, and then some of the questions are really similar. So we wanted to try to like double team on some of these questions, see if we could get the, I feel my legs are really short.
I know. I took the good chair.
I don't know.
I saw it.
I don't have the leg
up
thing.
To it first.
So I didn't pack my parachute. So that's okay. But so please hang with me as I hang on for my life. But we just wanted to go ahead. Like I said, we had some questions that were real similar. So we wanted to try to double team on some of these questions about that. This person said, can you answer my question? Yes, I am.
Give us a second. We'll get to it.
Give us a week. A minute to breathe, okay? But their question was this. Their question was we're going to start off with this one, right?
No, you're starting heavy.
I know. We're going to get heavy duty in this one. And you know, all the answers that we bring, they're Bible based. You find them in the Bible and stuff like that. So, but it says there's a couple of them here that say, how do I fully let go of my homosexual lifestyle? I'm really tired of it, and I'm trying to let go of it, but it's so hard, so difficult. I'm attracted to the same gender. Why? Can you help me, please? And I guess, we'll let's answer this one. Actually, hon, if you can answer this one, it'd be really cool.
I will answer this one. Okay, yeah. First of all, I think if you've ever thought, am I gay, you're not the only person on the planet who's ever thought that, okay? I'm sure at some point, a lot of people, if not everybody, the thought has come through their mind like, oh, man, am I attracted to the same gender? I don't know. So I don't want you to feel like you're a freak, okay, because you're not. In fact, the Word of God even talks about it, and in 1 Corinthians 6:9, this is what the Word of God says. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? So who's he talking about? He says, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, which are people who are out having sex outside of marriage, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. All right, so you're saying, thanks, Pastor Michelle. That makes me feel awful. All right, but wait.
Thank pretty much everybody.
There is hope. In verse number 11, this is what Paul writes to the church. And such were some of you. So he's saying, he's writing to a church and saying, the people in church were like this. So what does he say about it? He says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. So there were people in the beginning of church time that actually dealt with this. In fact, in that area and in the new churches, there was even idolatry worship where they would worship idols with sex. In fact, the more grotesque and gruesome you could be, the more honor and worship it would give to a god. Okay, not our god, but no. Some god that they made up. Okay? And so we're talking about real issues. You say, Pastor Michelle, this church got some issues. Yeah, we do. And so does the church back then. All right? So let's deal with it. First of all, you've got to understand that this is a sin. And if it's a lifestyle, that means that you've probably lived like this for some years now. Okay? That's what I'm assuming. You probably had a boyfriend or a girlfriend of the same gender. But your sin, what's the difference between your sin and someone else's sin? See, our whole life, we have to deal with, we are made up of body, soul, and spirit, okay? And it says that the body, the flesh, and the spirit wars against each other. From the day you're born to the day you die, there is going to be temptation for sin. Everybody has their own little issues, and you just have to conquer it. So I have a couple notes for you, and if you're dealing with this issue, you should write it down and not be so scared to not deal with it.
Or even if you know somebody who's going through this
exactly.
kind of stuff. I mean, because, you know, if you think of Pastor Richard, Pastor Michelle, I've never even thought that before. Well, so what? You know, you're hearing this stuff today so you can be a friend and minister and help and pray for your friends who are dealing with this kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I think also, too, maybe some of you guys are a little bit like, that's weird, da 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 da. Okay, most people that I've talked to, and I've talked to a lot of teenagers who go to church about this issue, it's not like they ask to have gay thoughts. It's not they're like, ooh, I hope I have a gay thought that haunts me the rest of my life. Okay?
You know, because that's the big thing is, are you born with it or do you choose it? You know, a lot of people we talk to who are going through this, they say, well, Pastor Richard, Pastor Michelle, I don't choose to be made fun of. I don't choose to feel this way. I don't choose to act this way, whatever it is. And, you know, who would choose to live that way if it's that difficult? So we understand that.
And maybe when you were growing up, you felt like you didn't fit in because maybe you weren't the average boy or the average girl, which happens a lot to people. Maybe somebody asked you, well, how long have you thought you were gay? Well, ever since I was 6 years old, I felt like I was different because, you know, I didn't play baseball with the boys and, you know, I didn't play with Barbies with the girls and stuff. And so all of a sudden the world says that we fit into this thing, well, you must be gay. Then you must be gay. And you start to live what the world tells you instead of what God tells you. Okay, God made you a woman, God made you a man, and just because you're different does not mean that you're gay, all right? But what happens is when we have these thoughts, instead of casting them down, sometimes you entertain those thoughts. In fact, maybe not only do you entertain those thoughts, but maybe you start, you know, dating the same gender. Maybe you start doing stuff with the same gender. Maybe you start looking on stuff on the internet, you know, with gay stuff and all that kind of stuff. What ends up happening is that you start training your brain to act a certain way. You start training your brain to think a certain way about the same gender. And what I call is you make roads in your brain that when you get attracted to the same gender, you start going down the same road. And you literally have to start retraining yourself. It's just like with depression.
Yeah.
See, I struggled with depression. And there would be times where something would just set me off. A comment that somebody made, you know, whatever, something like that. And because I trained my brain to go down a road, I literally had to fight that. And in the Bible, it says, and I have a verse for you, in 2 Corinthians 10:5, says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Yeah.
You have the ability to do that. Now, you may have to do that over and over and over again, okay? But you can do it. And it will get easier. And it will get easier, I promise you that. But you have to do it. See, if you've entertained those thoughts and you've lived that lifestyle, it's not going to be easy. Cy Rogers, who is a guy who ministers on this subject, he was gay. In fact, he was going to have an entire sex change. He took hormones for 2 years to become a woman. Then 2 weeks before his surgery was planned, the doctor shut down his office and said, it isn't right. This isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. This guy got saved, born again, 25 years. He has been straight. He's been married. He has kids. And he is a good person to listen to on this subject. If you go on iTunes and download some of his podcasts.
Cy
okay?
Rogers, it's S-Y
Now, some of you deal
Rogers.
With this subject, but you're not even going to do what I just told you to do. See, you don't really want to change. You need to do this stuff. You need to memorize these verses and actually take action with this stuff. Yeah. But Cy Rogers said this. He says, sometimes we'll go and we'll jump off a cliff, and halfway down, we'll say, this was a bad idea. All right? You know, sometimes we do stuff, and we in the middle of it, we're like, why am I doing this? And see, God, he says, God will forgive you, but gravity doesn't.
Yeah.
You see, God's forgiven you of your homosexuality and this lifestyle, but the way that you've trained your body to react to the same gender, you've got to start retraining it and taking every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ.
It's tough.
And that will work. Okay, I know this is a long one. All right, the next thing you need to do is you need to stand in faith. It's probably not going to happen overnight. It's just like any other sin that you have to war against. The devil is out to destroy your life. And if this is how he's going to do it, then he will use it.
Yeah.
So you need to stand in faith. Also, you need to get a vision for your life. Is your only goal to be straight? I mean, is that your only goal? See, that's kind of a goal, but your goal really shouldn't be just to be straight or to be attracted to women or to be attracted to men. It should be to be godly.
Yeah.
Let's just be Christians. Let's just follow after God, and let's believe that that other stuff will line up with it, because that's what's going to happen, you guys. I guarantee you that. But get a vision for yourself. What is your goal? You know, without a vision, you perish. What is your goal with you being straight or you being godly? Get a vision. And then lastly, I want to say this verse to you in Philippians 1:6. It says, be confident for this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is going to happen. Don't be discouraged. I am here to encourage you that you are going to be whole. You're going to be restored. God loves you. Let's remember what it says in 1 Corinthians, that you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay?
Yeah.
And if you want to talk to Pastor Richard and I about this, we are totally here for you guys to talk to you about it one-on-one.
Yeah.
All right.
That's good.
That's my message. I know it's really long, but that's a deep question, right?
It is a tough question. I mean, people going through that kind of stuff, you know. And we had several questions like this, and another one here was, if you kissed a guy, does that mean I'm gay? And I figured I assumed there's like a guy who was asking this question. You know, I don't know why you'd think otherwise. But if I kissed a guy, does that mean I'm gay? And like what Pastor Michelle was saying, you know, right, especially right now. I mean, as you guys are teenagers, right? And your way your brain is developing, you know, it. If you kiss a guy, it doesn't mean you're gay. A girl, if you're a girl and you kiss a girl, it doesn't mean that you're gay or you're lesbian. It just means you kiss somebody. You know, I mean, a person who's gay or lesbian means they've bought into the lifestyle. They said, this is the way I am. This is the way it's going to be. And if you can't even answer that question, you know, you're not gay. It just means you kissed somebody.
Now that doesn't mean that it's right.
No, it doesn't mean
wrong
it's right.
To do that. But just to say that, oh, Pastor Michelle, you know, I must be gay because I kissed somebody. It's like, well, how about you stop kissing them and not be gay? Okay, like you don't, just because you do that doesn't mean you're gay. In fact, if you struggle with homosexuality and you want to stop living like that, stop calling yourself gay. You are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're a Christian.
Yeah.
Okay?
And even, this is a good point, honey. She's smart. That's why I married her. No, and you know, and you know, right now, in your brain, and the way you're developing is you're training your brain on how to think. You're training the way your brain physically is. I mean, the things that you do, the things that you watch, the things you put in front of your face, the activities and the sports and the books you read. Right now, as you guys are growing, the decisions you make literally, physically, biologically are forming the way your brain is physically made. And if if you're attracted to the same gender, well, then that just means you're attracted to the same gender. But if you continue to do it, and you continue to think about it, and you continue to mull on it and entertain those thoughts, like Pastor Michelle was saying, you're training your brain physically, emotionally, spiritually to become that lifestyle. You know, but you need to make a decision. And like the Bible says, it says that, you know, God wants to renew your mind, that you could have the mind of Christ, that the way you used to think is not the way you have to think now. You know, if you thought that you were trash or you were dirt or you were ugly or anything, you know, you don't have to think that way anymore. You know, just because you think it doesn't mean it's right. Just because you feel it doesn't mean you should continue doing that.
And speaking about feelings, let's say you've been involved with, you know, whatever. You know, you've been kissing somebody, you guys have been rubbing each other, or you're the same gender. Okay, let's just be real.
Let's just be real.
And you did not hate it. In fact, maybe you liked it. But doesn't mean you're gay. It means everything works. Does that make sense?
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It means nothing's broken.
Okay, now again, I want to be very, very clear. It's not right, it's not okay, but it doesn't mean that you're gay, all right?
And you know, I know someone had even asked, you know, they said, Pastor Richard, you know, I love having sex, and I think I'm addicted to sex, but, you know, and it feels good, but I always feel really guilty. Well, that's because God designed sex to feel good. I mean, all sin feels good. I mean, getting high can feel good. Having sex, you know, inside or outside of marriage can feel good, you know? I mean, punching that person you hate in the face can feel really good. But just because it feels good doesn't mean it's right. Otherwise, we'd all be missing teeth and having black eyes and have messed up.
And remember, God created sex, not the devil. So you are a sexual being. And we've got to remember this, is that you don't have to act like an animal, if I can say that. And every time you get an urge, you just got to go find somebody to mate with or have sex with. But I don't expect you to be an angel, which means that you never have these thoughts ever. Oh, Pastor Michelle, we would never, ever think about that, okay? Because that's ridiculous.
It's natural.
God zapped you with 600, for your hormones to go up 600% in your life right now at this stage so that you could grow taller, so that you could mature, so that you could have babies. I mean, God's created you. He wouldn't do that to you if you couldn't control yourself. God would not be like, ha, 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 let me zap them with a bunch of hormones and then make them go crazy, okay? You can control yourself. In fact, that's the only thing you can control in life is yourself.
It's true. That's true. And, you know, God said one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And just because you feel it doesn't mean you got to do it.
I have a hard time sitting down and talking about God. Can you tell? No. I'm like, okay.
Just chilling. No. And then somebody all just said, what about two girls getting it on? That means girls too. You know,
same
God has not
thing.
Designed us to be with the same gender. That's just the way it is. Sorry. You know, it is what it is. Okay. And then somebody said here, oh my gosh, this is a crazy one. It says, No, we're going on, okay. Okay, thanks. What about if you have had sex with a non-virgin and you were a virgin? Is it true that you've had sex with everyone that they have had sex with? I do. I have a picture to show you. No, not one of those. Because it's church, all right? It's church. We just talked about that.
You guys all got your phones out. Or
I know, you're all. I've been Twittering. What are they showing? No. Okay. It's true. Okay, see this? That is not a disease. Don't worry. This is a study they did a couple years ago. There, it was down at Columbia University. What they did is they went to a high school and they began to ask and talk to students, and it was they began to ask them, you know, who are you in a relationship with? Who are you in a romantic relationship with? Who have you been in a romantic sexual relationship with? And they had about 573 of the students said, well, we've been in a relationship where we've been done sexual things with each other and stuff like that. And they found out that of those 573 people, 288 of them were linked together within these relationships. Every blue dot represents a boy. Every pink dot represents a girl. Every line in between those dots represents a sexual encounter with them. You'll see some of them have 2, 3 dots, 4 dots. Some of them only have 1 dot. I know, I wish I had a stick.
see
that little blue dot Pastor Michelle was talking to? Okay, that pink dot had sex with that other blue dot, who had sex with that pink dot, who had sex with those 3 dots. And that other blue dot had sex with that other pink dot. And that one pink dot that's in the middle circle all had sex with somebody who had sex with had somebody else. And see, that little blue dot on that lower left corner is connected somehow, some way to that blue dot way up on the right corner because they all had some type of sexual encounter. Now, let me ask you this. See that little pink dot at the top right in the middle of the circle? What if she had herpes and she gave it to that blue dot? They gave it to those 2 pink dots that now gave it to those 3 blue dots. You know what I'm saying? So when the question says is, I'm a virgin and I had sex with a non-virgin, does that mean I had sex with everybody that had sex with us? I don't know, but yes, maybe, quite possibly so.
That's
looking
just a
at
gnarly
this graph
picture, yeah.
Of 288 people who are connected, and that's in one high school. of all those things and the potential for the spread of disease. I mean, we said it last week, is that, I mean, the new studies say that by the age of 25, half of everybody in this room will have an STD, a sexually transmitted infection.
Yeah, if half. Everybody who is sexually active in the world or United States or whatever, half of those people are pretty much by the age of 25 guaranteed to get an STD. Okay, so that's a real statistic. It used to be 1 in 4. So it recently they did a new study about it.
Yeah.
And that's why one of the questions I think is, you know, should, is it wrong to use protection? Or was that one of the questions?
Is it wrong? Yeah, is it why should I use protection?
Why should I use protection?
No.
Okay, now you will notice that we don't pass out condoms here. Because the best way to stay without an STD and to not get pregnant, not have an abortion,
heartbreak and all that stuff, is to do things God's way, and that's to have sex when you're inside a married relationship.
But if you're listening to us,
and you think, Pastor Richard, I think this Bible thing's stupid, and you're sleeping around, well, if you were smart and you had half a brain, you would use protection.
Yeah.
But if you had a full brain and you were smarter, you would do things God's way. Because don't go home and say, Pastor Richard said, I need to buy some condoms and birth control, because that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that to avoid this whole picture altogether, you do things God's way.
Yep.
And because God designed his boundaries and rules not to hold us back from something good, because he doesn't want that, but to protect us from all the things that can go wrong when you do sex the wrong way, the world's way. You know, and that's, I don't know, I think that kind of answers that question.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. If you already had sex, does that mean you're going to hell? No. It doesn't. Having sex does not mean you're going to hell. But like how Pastor Michelle read in 1 Corinthians, is if you're practicing, and if what you want becomes more important than what God wants, physically, sexually, emotionally, spiritually, then that means you are on your way to leaving your relationship with God. And when you leave your relationship with God because what you want is more important than what God wants, then yes, you are going to hell. But you don't go to hell because you have sex.
And again, in 1 Corinthians it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God, neither fornicators nor idolaters nor adulterers, okay?
Yeah. So. If you're not willing to change, then you're not really willing to live your life for God.
And maybe you're saying, oh, Pastor Michelle, I've already made this mistake and I don't know what to do. You know what? Just repent and turn around and go with God. Because, I mean, let's just think about all the people in the Bible. You look at Rahab, who was a prostitute. You know, she repented and she started living for God. You look at the woman in the well who was sleeping with five guys at one time. She repented and started following Jesus.
Yep.
Okay, so it's not like this is new, again, to anything with the Bible, but we've got to remember to repent. And Pastor Richard, I believe he gave you 1 John 1:9.
1 John 1:9.
Which I memorized that verse as a teenager because it says, confess your sins to God and he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins.
Yep.
Listen, guys, it's all about forgiveness and repenting, which means turning away and not living that kind of lifestyle.
Yeah, that same person asked, if you already had sex, can you still do the purity service? Heck yeah.
Absolutely.
Heck yeah, there's no reason.
This is a commitment
to
purity service, which means the past is the past. Let's start new today.
I mean, if you're willing to say, you know what, I want to do things God's way instead of my way, then you can do this. Then you can have the purity service. You know, your past does not disqualify you from your future. If you're willing to give your past to God. I mean, there ain't no sin that's too big for God. There's nothing that's like God's like slapping his forehead in heaven going, how am I going to fix this one? You know, it's like, you know, God's not surprised by the things we do in our mind and when we're alone with other people. I mean, look, the blood of Jesus Christ can wipe away sin from the uttermost. And that is just a fact. So, you know, no thing you've done wrong or out of God's will is too bad that God can't forgive it. And then another person said, what if I'm a guy and I've had intercourse with another guy? Am I going to hell? The same answer. I mean, what 1 Corinthians said, look, you used to be this way, and now you're not because of Jesus Christ. Another person said, if I have sex and ask for forgiveness, does God forgive you? Yes. As a matter of fact, it sounds like this person, whoever you are, if you're out there, you know, it sounds like God's already forgiven you. You just need to forgive yourself. Look, let go of the guilt. Let go of the remorse and realize that God's forgiven you. Now forgive yourself, man, because it's not the end of the world. I mean, it's a big deal, but it's not, you know, the worst thing in the entire world you can do. I'm not writing an okay, you know, check for you to go and do that stuff, but, you know, you need to let go of it and forgive yourself. Let's see. Someone asked this question. They said, and this, I think this is interesting. It says, do some people's relationships or marriage, do some married people's relationships get ruined because they get bored of the same sex? Look, being married to somebody, intimate and being intimate and stuff like that is not like eating Cheerios every day, okay? If people say that, I don't eat just Cheerios every day. I have some Frosted Flakes, got to mix it up with some Raisin Bran, you know?
Look, I've never heard that analogy.
Oh, you ain't been around. Okay. Maybe there's a guy say, you know, because there's some really bad analogies out there that have nothing to do with sex, you know?
Breakfast will never be the same.
Sorry. But look, if your relationship, your marriage gets ruined because sex gets boring, then your relationship was in trouble a long time before that. Because if the only reason you're staying together with someone is because of sex, then your marriage is really shallow. And if that's the only reason you're with somebody, then you got bigger problems than sex is boring, okay? Because it's a heart issue. It has nothing to do with boredom and any of that kind of stuff. I mean, the truth of the matter is, too, is people say, this and that about sex. It's like, look, your flesh will never be satisfied. So if you're living to satisfy your flesh, whether it's through drugs or sex or whatever it is, it'll always want something more, you know, and you'll never satisfy it. So that's my answer to that one, is the answer is, you know, no, it happens before that. After the ceremony, can you still kiss? After you do the purity service, can you still kiss or hold hands with your boyfriend or girlfriend? Hun?
Sure. I mean, it's up to you and God and Jesus and your boyfriend. It's, you know, where's that going to take you? You know, that's the thing. And in fact, I was telling the junior high that, you know, when you start getting all crazy with kissing and your hands start going everywhere, you're revving your body up to have sex, okay? And then you have to drastically shut it down, okay, when that thing happens, okay? So you got to be careful with yourself. Remember, you got to respect each other and all that. And I like what Lily said in the junior high service.
Lily.
She was talking about the rules. You know how if you guys are dating somebody in youth, we don't allow you guys to hold hands or kiss in church. She's all, but you can do that outside of church under the supervision of your parents. So if you want to do that in front of your parents.
So if your parents are cool with you making out in front of them. I mean, yeah. If you would be okay, Pastor Richard and Michelle are eating a hamburger next to you, you know.
Please don't.
I prefer you not. I mean, the general rule is if a bathing suit covers it up, you should not be touching it.
Amen.
General rule. Amen. And I know there's some really skimpy bathing suits out there, but let's just keep it to a church trip. Okay. And then another person said, is it bad to touch a girl's butt? If you want to get in trouble, yes.
It's not your butt. Did you marry her? See, we all want the perks of being married without the responsibility of it, taking care of somebody forever, I do, marrying them, and all this other stuff.
You know, here's the thing, too, is, guys, let's just kind of get this into our minds, is your girlfriend, your wife, or whoever that person is that you love is more than a butt. They're more than a pair of breasts. You know what I'm saying? Is it, guys, look, I mean, if you look at a woman and all you see is a butt or this body part or that body part or whatever, then you need to change the way you think, because you've been watching too much TV. You've been listening to too many jokes, because a woman,
too much of that rap.
If you can't look a woman in the eye when you're talking to her, you know what I'm saying, then you need to not even be getting close to a butt, okay? Because you got the whole wrong picture, because she is more than a bunch of body parts.
Eyes are up here.
That's right.
Eyes are up here.
That's right. That's right. Her face is what's talking to you.
Okay, how much time do we have? Because we got to do commitments.
We got to kind of start wrapping things up. I know. I know. I think, is there any up here you wanted to, any on? I know, we're going to.
I think we got the really,
I
mean, we got,
I think
the, good
got the really,
ones, yeah.
Really important ones and stuff like that. One person did say, is it bad in God's eyes if you don't want to get married or you don't want a relationship at all? No, I don't think it is at all. I'm just going to do this one real quick. You know, if you don't want a boyfriend or girlfriend, you don't want to get married, that's fine. You know, nothing wrong with wanting to be single the rest of your life. I mean, it means you won't be having sex, you know, in God's will. But if you don't want to have a relationship, there's nothing wrong with that. It just means that you can devote your entire life to something different,
you know?
But that same person texts.
But then they text later about verbally abusive relationships. Look, but if you are avoiding relationships because you've been hurt and people have abused you in the past, then that first question is a deeper question, and you need to be healed. Because of what people have done to you in the past, whether you've been molested or abused, you've been hurt, you've been put down, if that's preventing you from doing things in your life now, whether it's trusting God or going on with Him or having a future or getting relationships, then you need to be healed. And you need to let God take your broken heart and make it whole. And that's what tonight's about. That's what tonight's about. So if you've been hurt in the past in relationships or have heartbreak and you're afraid to let go of your heartbreak and stuff like that, tonight we're going to pray. We're going to get into this stuff. And you know what? Before you even make a commitment to God to be pure, you need to be whole. And once you're whole, then you can make a commitment
to
God.
Which, speaking of that, well, there was one other question which somebody asked. If I'm dating a girl, and I'm assuming this is a guy asking the question, but I'm gay, should I tell her? Did we ask that question already?
No, we didn't. We didn't
okay.
do that one.
Okay, so that sounds like, first of all, you're not dealing with an issue. Okay, let's be honest. You're not dealing with the issue. Okay, and I don't think you should be in a relationship at all, because you don't
not
even
right now,
know where your sexual orientation is at. And you need to deal with it. You know, we have amazing ministries here called Breaking Free. And you guys, that's a great ministry to get involved with. And you need to deal with it. And then later on in life, after you're whole, after you're restored, after God has dealt with you with this issue, then as you get into a relationship that's serious, I'm not saying on the first date, this should be like part of, you know, your guy, as you guys are chowing down on some pizza, you know, by the way, okay? But as things get to be serious, then this probably needs to be something you talk to with that person. But you need to deal with it first.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree. That's good. And I was going to say something, but I don't think I'm going to say it because I forgot what I was going to say. And that's okay. That's the way my brain works. Anyway, that's our Q&A session for you guys. So if you guys got anything out of God, let's give him a praise.
You guys get something out of that?
Cool. Yeah, you got that, babe? Okay, now, that's right. Now, let me get the rest of the band up here. You know, the whole title of this series has been called Love Fool, because it's about how not to be foolish with love, and love is the greatest power in all the universe. You know, we talked the last couple weeks about the different kinds of love, the agape love that gives self-sacrificing no matter what, does the best, the phileo, the friendship, the storge, which is the family. We talked about the eros, which is kind of what we always get stuck on, and how they're dependent one upon the other, about how they need to be in the right context. We were talking about in 1 Corinthians about how love is kind. It's not rude or puffed up, doesn't boast. Love never takes, but it always gives. We talked about these different things and what it means. You know, tonight, I want to encourage you guys to make a decision tonight to love. Not the way the world says, not just to get, but to really love, to make a commitment for that. You know, a lot of times these are abstinence pledges or commitments to purity and stuff like that. You know, it's all that kind of stuff. But it's more than that. Because you see, this is not an abstinence pledge because you're saying, well, I'm not going to have sex. That's not the thing. It's bigger than this. See, to make a commitment tonight will last the rest of your life. You know, I made this commitment years ago, and I'm still living it. Even though I'm married, I'm still living it because I made a commitment to be pure. I didn't make a commitment to not have sex. I made a commitment to love the way God loves. And today, I'm living it out by loving my wife and living my life to love my children. And I'm living my life to love you guys by the way I treat my relationships, by the way I treat my wife, the way I treat other people, by the way I treat the girl that walks down the street, by the way I treat her and the way I look at her. Today, at 28 years old, I'm still living my commitment to purity. You know, we gave everybody a little card, and some of you guys maybe are already written on it, ripped it up, or looked at it. You guys probably think, oh, I already know what he's going to talk about. Well, so what if you can, look underneath your butt if you haven't already, and it should be there. And this is the commitment you're making. And if you want to say, if you say, Pastor Richard, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make this commitment. We're going to give you another one. And everybody who's making this commitment gets two cards, one to take home and one to give to us. So the youth workers, so the staff here can pray for you guys. We could pray that you would not only make this commitment, but keep it for the rest of your lives. So a commitment to purity, a a commitment to not be foolish about love, a commitment to live a life that lives for the betterment of other people, a life that has godly relationships. You know, it says on here, it says, today on March 2nd, I'm making a commitment to respect God, to respect others, and respect myself. I choose to make decisions that will protect and honor these three relationships. You know, that's the thing about sex and relationships and intimacy is it's a matter of honoring and respecting. And, you know, no decision you make only affects you. That's foolish. I mean, we saw that picture up there of all the people connected. Those two little dots, the boy dot and the girl dot at the end, was not just a decision that they did that doesn't hurt anybody else. It affected 276 other people in that circle. And you see, when you make a decision to have sex or to be intimate or to do things like that, you're affecting other people. You may not realize it, but you're affecting people down the road. In the years that you don't even know them yet, you could be affecting them. You know, right now, for some of you guys, some of you girls, the man or the woman of your dreams could be on the other side of the world waiting for you. And wouldn't you want them to make the right decisions for you when you meet them? Why shouldn't we live the same way? It says this, I will make decisions that protect and honor God, my relationship with God. It says, I respect the fact that my body is not my own. Your body doesn't belong to you. The Bible says that Jesus Christ bought your life, your body, with his blood on that cross. So it doesn't belong to you. Not to abuse or to use like that. It says, but it has been given to me by God to honor him and his purposes. See, tonight you're making a commitment in your relationships now and your relationships future to honor God in all that you do. The way you treat people, the way you treat yourself. Leviticus 11:48, where God says, look, guys, I brought you out of Egypt. I took you away from sin. And then he says, I did it so you can be holy because I'm holy. See, God wants you to be like him. God wants you to live godly. And the way we do that is by living a life just for him. And when you do that, you live the greatest life. When you do things God's way. You know, studies have shown time after time that the people with the happiest, most enjoyed sex lives are people who are married and monogamous. Just that relationship between that husband and that wife. People with the best sex lives. It's not Hugh Hefner. It's not Jersey Shore, guys. Look, Jay Wow has no idea what she's missing. Then it says this. It says others. It says, I will protect my friends, my future children, my relationship, my future relationships, and my future husband or wife by living in God's protective boundaries for sex. Last week, someone said, what if I'm a virgin and I marry somebody who has an STD? If you make that commitment today, not to not have sex, but to do things God's way, which that fits in there. And that's part of doing things God's way is the saving yourself. Or choosing today to stop the way you were doing things and choose today to start doing things God's way. You know, if you've been messing around or you've done this stuff before, you're not disqualified from this, guys, because today's a new day. And tomorrow you can be a new person. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 through 7, if you haven't, put it up there so we can save time. It says, For this is the will of God for your sanctification. You're being made clean. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, in cleanness and honor, not in passions of lust like the Gentiles who don't know God, but that no one should take advantage or defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger of all such. You're on the wrong side of God's wrath, as we also were forewarned you and testified. See, I don't want you to have to explain to your child why you're not going to live as long as everybody else's daddy because of the decisions of who you decided to sleep with. I don't want you to have to explain to your future wife or husband what's wrong, what conditions you have because you chose not to respect others in your life. And then lastly is this, as I choose to protect and honor myself, it says, I choose to settle for nothing less than God's best for me, and I refuse to live with anything or anyone that would devalue me. 1 Corinthians 6:18-20 is the list of love, of what it means. Love is this, love is kind, love is, you know, it makes this list. And you're choosing today to respect yourself. Look, God thought you were valuable. So how about you start believing you're valuable? Look, God thought you were worth dying for. How about you not put up with anybody else who doesn't think you're worth dying for? Look, if your boyfriend is not going to die for you, then you don't need to be with him. If your girlfriend is not willing to sacrifice and die for you to their desires, then you don't need to be with them because they're not worth it. They're less than this commitment. Now, this is just a little piece of paper and a little pen. But you know what? When you make an agreement, it's more than paper and a little button. It's a spiritual decision you make between you and God. So if you guys want to make this decision, then what we're going to do is the ushers are going to pass out a bucket. Yeah, the ushers are going to pass out a bucket right now. And you don't have to take one. But if you want to make this decision, you can take it. Now, let me tell you this, is if you want to live for God, and if you want to do things God's way, and if you want to live with fewer regrets in your life, then you will make this decision. If you want to do things your way, then you don't have to. But let me tell you this, is if you want to get closer with God, then you've got to come to the decision that says, look, am I going to do this my way or God's way? It's time for you to do it God's way.
And let me just say this. Some of you are looking at this and you're saying, Pastor Michelle, I mean, I don't know if I can do this. God's called us to do this. And he would never ask us to do something that we actually couldn't do. Okay, Richard is the only man that I've ever slept with. Okay, because I committed myself to God. And that was a commitment I made as a teenager. Now, some of you are saying, I can't believe that, Pastor Michelle. I mean, everybody and the stories and da-da-da-da. First of all, most of the time people are lying or exaggerating. And if all you do is listen to the stories on MTV or Degrassi or all this other stuff, then if you want to be a product of script writing and perverted, polluted, earthly, disgusting TV shows, then go ahead. Then say, then I ain't going to sign that, Pastor Michelle. Oh, no, 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 no. And all this other stuff. Come on. Who are you playing? Who are you playing? You don't want to inherit the kingdom of God so that you could save your face, so that you could say, but Pastor Michelle, what if one time I might get lucky? Hey, I'd rather go to heaven. I'd rather have a good relationship with God. I'd rather, when I get married, say, I've committed myself to you before I even knew you. See, you guys, it may seem difficult. I know this is silly. But with God, nothing's impossible.
It's true.
And I'm serious. I'm serious. You know what? And I'm saying this because Lady Gaga, we put this stuff in our brains. We put it in our earphones, which is connected to our ears, which is, you know, connected to our brains. And we pump ourselves with all this in the club and in my bed and da-da-da, and I was born this way and blah, blah, blah. And we come to church for an hour and a half. Once a week, sometimes you guys don't, some of you don't even come to church once a week. And so when we stare at this, you say, oh my gosh, how can I do this? Well, you need to strengthen your commitment with God,
yeah,
instead of strengthening your commitment with the world. Do you understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
It's true.
It's true. So it's a commitment. And you know what Pastor Jim says, without any consistency, there is no commitment. So you can either let this be a piece of paper, or this can be a decision in your life to be more than paper. But a consistent thing you're doing every day. You wake up in the morning and say, today I'm going to live for God. This Wednesday I'm going to get to church. Sunday I'm going to get to church. I'm going to be in the front row. If there's nothing left, I'm going to be in the second row. Nothing left in the third row, I'm going to punch the person in the front row so I can take their seat and be on the front row. No, don't do that. I'd be really sad if somebody punched you. But you know what I'm saying. So let's do this. I'm going to ask everybody to stand up real quick. And first, as we said this, is, you know, if you need healing in your life, you know, maybe you've messed up, maybe you've been sleeping around, maybe you feel like, and we got these questions, we got a lot of these questions, is if somebody has violated or you feel like somebody's robbed you or stolen your innocence or your purity or a piece of you, then we want to pray with you guys real quick. Especially if you want to make this commitment tonight, is if you need healing of a heartbreak, you know, we got several questions, Pastor Richard, Pastor Michelle, you know, I just can't get over my ex-boyfriend or my ex-girlfriend. I just don't know how to get over it. And if that's you, if you fit in any of those things, any of those areas in life, we want to pray healing over you. You know, God's the one who heals hearts. So if you've been heartbroken and you're not over it, if you need to be made whole physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, if you feel like you've been violated, you know, look, you have not been ruined. You just have a hurt that God, the great physician, Jesus Christ, can and desires to heal. And it all starts with you admitting it and coming to him, saying, God, heal me. Put my heart back together. Put my life back together. Put my emotions back together, because I don't want to be a mess no more. You know, the only way to do this is if you allow God to make you a whole person, because then there's no room in your life for no garbage. So if that's you in this place, you know, the band's going to play a little bit of music. And if you need healing tonight before we make this commitment, then I want you guys to just come up to the front. Bring your card. Bring your stuff. And come on up to the front. And we're going to pray for you tonight. We're going to pray for you tonight. So if that's you, let's go ahead. If you need healing for any of those reasons or even something we haven't mentioned, come on up.